Sunday. We're going to follow on with the series that we've been doing next week. But today we're just going to focus, all the congregations are focusing in on missions today. Not only missions as in those who have left the church and moved to another nation, but also short-term missions. And we do all sorts of short-term missions. And we want to encourage people in the congregation who've never done a mission trip to consider what that would look like in your life and how you can get involved in that. But also to bring a highlight to the persecuted church around the world. And we've been praying for Nigeria specifically because of the journey that they're in right now. And we're going to ask three members of the congregation to come and pray for them later when we get to that part in the service. But I was amazed last night listening to the 10 o'clock news that America, President Trump has said he's going to put boots on the ground and deal with the Islamic terrorists who are killing the Christians in Nigeria. And I thought, goodness me, we're about to pray today. We've been praying anyway. And then all of a sudden we hear news like that. Now, we don't want war, absolutely, but we do want the end to the killing of Christians in that nation specifically. So we're going to highlight that a little bit later on. But we want to celebrate the heart of those who have heard the call of God and decided, I'm going to go to the ends of the earth or wherever the ends of the earth would be for them. And I think that's a massive call. Now, if you're a single person, you think, oh, I'm going to take a year out of uni and I'm going to go traveling, I'm going to do this, that and the other. That's one thing. But to pick up your family, say, we're going to leave our job, we're going to sell our home, and we're going to go to another nation, a nation perhaps that they don't speak the language, a nation where perhaps there's a certain amount of persecution going on or difficulty. I think it's a huge thing to do. And I'm a settler. See, in churches, you have settlers and you have pioneers. Those who are willing to just go and break new ground and go and do something radical. I'm a settler, but I'm happy to do certain things like break ground in the safety of my own location. Anybody else like me? It's like, this is much easier to some degree. You can have your own issues as well. But missions work is something that's been going on since the early days of the Bible. You turn to the book of Acts, and what you see is the missions, if you turn to the back of your Bible, and usually you've got maps at the back of your Bible, and those maps talk about Paul's journeys and his mission to the different churches and the different areas where he would establish a church. And that was going on in AD 46 to AD 62. And Paul went on three mission trips or journeys where he would bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. He would share spiritual truth. He would establish a church, and then he would move on somewhere else. And what we see with what Paul started back then is still going on in the lives of churches all around the world today. And I think it's just great and a great opportunity to celebrate. Now, churches were established and grew through Paul's ministry and through others that were doing the same. But another thing that caused the church to spread was persecution. And right in the middle of this moment where before Saul becomes a Christian, a significant moment happens in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Saul wholeheartedly approved of Stephen's death. You know, he approved, he held the coats, he had papers to arrest and imprison. And Saul wholeheartedly approved of Stephen's death. And on that day, a great and relentless persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And the believers were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. They stayed in Jerusalem. But in this moment, something began to happen, and the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, began to be shed abroad. You know, we know that Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. And I just look at this and I think this is just how the gospel was spread. And that was by individuals, and it was by persecution. And what we see today is people willing to go, and we see persecution. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is multiplying around the earth. And I think there's a very interesting significance. I wonder whether we will see in this nation persecution that brings in revival. Because there's got to be something that begins a revival in this nation. It's either the prayers of praying people interceding on our nation. It's either persecution, and there's a lot of it anyway, or we all go into our world. There's only three real ways that's going to happen, or a sovereign move of God. But he sovereignly moves through his church. So I wonder, in this nation, what will we see and when will we see it? But I believe the time is coming when revival begins to break out in a greater manner than the quiet revival that's happening in our nation right now. Now, I love the fact that there is some form of revival happening and people are finding God in our nation. I love that. But when revival happened in the Bible, it happened with thousands and thousands of people coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That is what we're believing for the nation today. So these incredible people have heard the call, they picked up sticks, and they decided to go. Now, for many of you in the room, you think, who are these people from Family Church? I don't know who's gone. Well, we've got a little bit of a media here, and we'd like you to watch the media as long as it works. We've had nothing, or the team have had nothing but issues this morning. So let's give it a go and see what happens. That's first part of what we're going to look at. For those on the screen that we've just listened to, Dave and Fiona Kilo, some of you would know, Fiona is James Nice's sister, and we knew Fiona before she was married and before she went out, and so we probably knew her in her late teens, and now, that journey of her life is just incredible. For KCM, Jenny, our daughter, went out to the Philippines. She was in on Tondo. She worked as part of the mission team out in Tondo. She was there six months, and just lived in the worst part on the Tondo dump sites, and just became part of the community and part of the lives that are there. And the team came over earlier this year and just spent an evening at the Empower Centre Portsmouth. And it was great because they actually remembered our daughter when she was out there, and the connection that's there, and we have a connection. And part of our giving as a church goes to the missions work that's going on around the world. The call of Jesus to the hearts of people is very real. And that call causes us to do things that perhaps we wouldn't naturally do in our own thinking. And I'm certain, looking at Fiona's life as a young lady, as a teenager, I don't believe that that was part of her journey, that she thought that she would go on the mission field. But suddenly God speaks into your life, and he turns a direction, and it turns your heart, and he gives you a heart for a nation, or gives you a heart for a people. And I think that's just an important part of our journey. And I believe there are people who have been given a heart to come to this nation and who have got a heart to win souls in this, in our community. And I think that's so precious. But this, what Jesus spoke, goes for us all. And Jesus spoke these words in Matthew 28, verse 16 onwards. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. You're always going to get your doubters, aren't you? But do you know what? The natural response was they worshipped. They'd just seen him raised from the dead. They just encountered him. And Jesus came to them and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he commissions the believer. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen. You know, there's just so many things in this particular passage. Go and make disciples. One of the things that I love about Family Church right now, this year, we've seen 17, I think it's next week or week after, we're going to do our 18th baptism here in Family Church Gosport. That, to me, is absolutely fantastic. We're doing exactly what the Bible, what Jesus said. Go and reach and baptize. And the next week's baptism is going to be just outside the doors. It's an elderly lady in her 70s. And I just want us to encourage her as we baptize her. But it says this, go therefore and make disciples. That didn't say you have to go into a foreign nation. It talks about nations. And very often we think we've got to go onto the mission field to be a missionary. I believe the nation that we're in needs as many missionaries as it can have. And you and I are those individuals who reach our world. We can't rely on the world around us to send people here. God's looking for you and me, for us to step up, for us to take on the call. One of the privileges that Jane and I have, there's another couple on there from Ecuador. Jane and I are the pastoral support team for Dave and Hannah Buckle. They up sticks many years ago with four children, went out to Ecuador, didn't know the language, didn't know the people, didn't know quite where and what they were going to do. They set up a small group of people that grew into a church, and now they got a thriving church of about 150 people in their church. So we have the privilege of walking with them, pastoring them, supporting them at a distance when they've got no one else perhaps that they can turn to. They had some issues not so long ago with some leaders, and we were able to be of support to them in that journey. They were considering at the beginning of the year opening up their first cell group. And now I'm hearing they have six. That brings such a joy to our hearts, knowing that we give them the support that they need in the journey that they're on as a couple. But the call for missions is for every one of us. Jesus has commissioned you and I, go into all the world. Go into your world and teach and preach and share the love of God. In Romans 10, verse 13, it says this, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that a wonderful promise? You know, I look across this room here, and the amount of people over the years we've seen give their life to the Lord and then continue that journey with him. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. And, you know, we can think that we've got to go far and wide. No, we just got to have our ear open and obedient. This week I was at the church offices in Portsmouth, as I always am on a Tuesday, and I was just literally getting into my car or my van to drive home. And I got a call from Simon. He said, Jeff, could you be praying for my sister-in-law? We know that she's been very unwell for a long time. She doesn't know the Lord. She's not walking with the Lord. But Simon's request was she may not have long. Now, if I'm honest, I just wanted to get home. There's a lot on my plate. I thought, I got a choice.
am I wearing beautiful feet? Jane often looks at my feet. Have I got beautiful feet according to what the Word of God says? Or am I just going to walk away and do my thing, what I need to do, the things that I need to catch up with? I had a decision to make, and it didn't take me long to turn around and say, Simon, I'm on my way there now. And as I walked into the hospital and then I went up to the room, I walked into Simon's sister, Lord Lisa's sister, who I'd met a year and a bit ago at their dad's funeral. And nothing could have prepared me for what I walked into, knowing what she looked like before. And it's in moments like that that you think, now what good am I? And we could think that in different situations where we are in our workplace. What good am I? Who am I? What can I say? And I walked in and she's pretty much unconscious, unrecognizable, and very, very ill. And I sat down and I asked permission, can I hold her hand? And I held her hand. And I was there for one thing. To enable her to find Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Not to raise her up, not to see salvation. As I began to speak, her eyes moved and you couldn't see the eye, the eyes were dilated, but you could see that there was movement in her eyes. And I said to her, look, I'm going to share the gospel of Jesus with you, and I'm going to pray for salvation. If you're able to, I would like you to squeeze my hand at the end of that prayer. And I felt probably is the worst sharing of the gospel, in all honesty, the worst sharing of the gospel I've ever done. I mumbled through and just tried to choose my words very carefully, very sensitively. There's other people in the room. There's nurses and other patients in the room. But we're talking eternity in a few moments. And then I prayed what we would call the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of receiving Jesus into her life. And then I asked her the question, do you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you do, would you squeeze my hand? And then there was a twitching of a hand as she tried to squeeze. That's our mission field. The ones and the twos. Because I have absolutely no doubt that that lady received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. I sat there, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, and there was absolutely no movement. And I don't know how long Lisa's been there and the mum, but she was not going to move. But God enabled her. And I look at those moments and I think, how many do we miss in life? Oh, they may not be laying in bed. She actually died 4 days later. I thank God that I was in the right place, that I didn't fob Simon off too much and say, I'm sorry, Simon, I got so much on, I'll go next week. What would have next week looked like had I said that? I wonder how many of us miss our moment because we put off to another week or another opportunity where we could be sowing the seeds of eternity in the hearts and lives of people. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel, who bring glad tidings of good things. Come on, in a sober moment, let's step forward. In a sober moment of a reality, for me, I sat there with tears pouring down my eyes, down my cheeks. Lisa was, her mum was. But they weren't sad tears. They were tears of rejoicing because she had accepted Jesus Christ into her heart. The call is for all of us. The call is in your heart, in your life, in your journey. And we, every one of us, can make a difference. The Bible says there is one who plants. There is another who waters. But it's God who gives the increase. I just happen to be available. I guess that's the key for every one of us. Are we available? Do we position ourselves available? Because I can assure you, we don't all live next door to Christian neighbours. Not all of us. Some of us do. But our neighbours need the Lord. Our work colleagues need the Lord. Our social friends need the Lord. And you may be the one who plants that first seed. Somebody else will come along in prayer and water, and God will give the increase. But someone needs to be sowing so that we do see the ability to see the increase. Will that be you? Will you step up and be that person? When I look at these people who are overseas, they're doing it in their lands and in their places with people that they had no contact with, no connection with. I've got a connection with Simon and Lisa. They're part of the congregation. They're part of the family. And when they're hurting or when they're struggling, and the same with anybody else in the room, we do too. And we want to walk in those journeys and walk in those situations and be available. But for those who are overseas and those who are doing their work, they can be so easily forgotten. We don't think about them again until next year. Oh, yeah, it's Mission Sunday. But today is an opportunity for you to remember them. Write their names down. Get their QR code. Find out more about what they're doing. Because they can be the lost and forgotten missionaries around the world that we don't give a second thought to. We're going to have another look at the next group of people. Fantastic. It's good to see. Our church family, these are people that have been sent out from us. And, Joe, we've known since she was a young teenager. And she's out in the mission field a lot of the time. But Joe's not a well lady, and we need to pray for her. And for the family as a whole. Please, if you've written these down, Lyndon, is it possible to play these at the end of the service? Just sort of people can scan them and do whatever you want to do with them. Some of the things that we do, as in mission trips, short-term ones, we go to the Philippines, go to Africa, Poland, Germany. The latest one that we did was in Nepal. We're going to be doing those, some of those in the next year or so. And if you'd like to go on a mission trip to any one of those nations, we would love for you to sign up and be a part. Finally, this morning, because time has moved on, we're going to pray specifically for the persecuted church and for those around the world who are really going through such a hard time for being a Christian in their nation. I was looking at some of the statistics, and they vary hugely depending who you listen to and who you want to get information from. But there could be at least 250,000 Christians this past year who have died for their faith and their desire to follow God around the world. They're our family, in the sense of our spiritual brothers and sisters in the Lord. For Nigeria, in the last, I think it's 10 years, numbers can vary again, but there could be up to 54,000 people who have died because they're Christians in Nigeria alone in the last 10 years. These numbers, it's so difficult to comprehend this when you're sat here, freedom to worship, freedom to pray, freedom to witness. The only thing that may come our way is, sometimes when we've witnessed to people, it's like, I don't want to know. Keep your religion to yourself. That's not a lot of hardship when you think what others go through. I'm going to ask if James Jonathan and Juliet can come out. You don't have to be a J from Nigeria, okay? I suddenly realised that all three J's, Jonathan, Juliet and James, but they're all from Nigeria. And if you join me on the stage here, that'd be great. According to Open Doors, more Christians are killed for their faith in Nigeria than the rest of the world combined. That's shocking. Absolutely shocking. On the 13th of June 2025, there was a massacre of over 200 Christians in a community village in Nigeria. Over 7,800 Christians have been abducted in the first 7 months of 2025. And violence against Christian communities has pushed 3 million people out of their homes. Now, we did have another video to show, but because of time, we won't show it. But what it does show is that Nigeria, on the top 10 lists of the most persecuted nations on the earth, Nigeria happens to be leveled at number 6. So many of the Middle Eastern nations are the worst places to be a Christian, but the number one place is still North Korea. And some of the stories that have come out of from these different nations of Christians who've been martyred for their faith and who choose to go back into the nations where they've escaped from, and they go back in and share the faith, knowing that their life will be limited, is just absolutely unbelievable. So yeah, North Korea is number one. Somalia, Yemen, Libya, Sudan, Eritrea, Nigeria, Pakistan, Iran, and Afghanistan. I'm so thankful that I was born in this nation. I'm so thankful that I have the ability to preach the gospel and not be arrested. I'm thankful that we all have a voice. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I'd like us just to join with Juliet, Jonathan and James as we stand together and as they pray for their nation. And Father, we lift up the persecuted church around the world. Lord, you know those who are out preaching the gospel at the risk of their own lives. Lord, I pray that the angels of heaven would stand guard around them, protect them, give them wisdom and insight, give them warnings when they need to move and when they need to leave. Father, I pray protection around your people around the world. And Father, this morning we take this moment to say thank you that we live in a free nation. Thank you that we can come and worship week in, week out, and give praise to you. Father, help us not to take our liberty for granted. Lord, that we would keep the persecuted church, our brothers and sisters around the world, in our prayers. And Father, this morning we also take this moment to pray for all those who are on the mission field, those that have been sent out, those who are a part of our journey. Lord, we lift them before you. We ask, Lord God, Lord, that you would be their healer and protector. Lord, that you would be their strengthener and their guide. Father, that you would go before them and protect them from the wiles of the enemy. But Father, I pray that you would meet all their needs according to your riches in glory. Father, meet the physical, meet the spiritual, meet the financial needs of their life, I pray. And Lord, as they go out sowing seeds in the nations that they're in, Father God, I pray for harvest. I pray, Lord, that they would see an abundance of good works come in their way. Father, bless them and let them know that they're loved, prayed for, and Lord, we're blessed by what they do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Bless you. Feel free to take your seats. I've just got one last thing. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, it says this: I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. That has got to be our heart cry. Here I am. Come on, God is asking the question. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall we send? And who will go for us? Isaiah jumps up in that moment. Here I am. Send me. Will you be and will you answer the call of God in this generation? Will you sow seeds of the gospel with those who you know, those that you don't know? Because God is looking for the same response. Here I am. Send me. So, Father, I thank you right across this room. As we've celebrated missions and missionaries from this house, Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would nail us, that we would take up our cross and follow you, that we would be truly radical believers who know the signs of the times in which we live, that the time is short and the harvest is plentiful. Lord, give your people boldness that we may proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.